It's that time in Spain where we talk to Brett Hansen from Brevin's Franks. How are you, Brett?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Christmas on the horizon, of course. Well, over the last weeks, the world has once again been challenged by a new COVID-19 variant. The arrival of Omicron also impacted the world's investment markets. So this week, Brett Hansen and I thought this was an appropriate time to revisit a subject close to all our hearts, protecting and growing our wealth. Well, Brett, we don't yet know how bad or not Omicron will be, but it has created uncertainty, including in investment markets. Do you think this is something investors should worry about?
So, as I'm sure all listeners are aware of, the Omicron variant was first discovered in South Africa, but has now been detected in multiple countries across the globe. And the World Health Organization has said it could take some weeks to determine how severe this variant could be and how much protection current vaccines will provide. And so right now, researchers are basically trying to determine how transmissible and how severe this variant will be. Now, when we first heard of this new variant a few weeks back, the world stock markets did actually take a bit of a tumble, though within days we saw them recover. But of course, just because stock markets fell at the same time as we were hearing about this new variant does not necessarily mean that they fell because of it. It is very important to keep in mind that investment markets are generally reacting to countless factors at any given moment, and so there could be numerous reasons besides Omicron which could impact them in the coming days and weeks. Also, stock markets in the short term are generally unpredictable, so it's nearly impossible to say for certain how they will react to the daily news about this new variant. For example, when the number of new cases spiked in the summer due to the spread of the Delta variant, whilst many experts believed that this would have a negative impact on stock markets, for the most part, they continued climbing. And whilst we could see a downturn in the short term because of a return of some restrictions, there's also the possibility that markets will continue rising just as they have been doing so since the end of March of last year. In times of uncertainty, I know it can be very tempting to either not invest or, if you are already invested, withdraw your money from your investments just in case a crash is on the horizon. But there are a number of problems with this. Firstly, if you decide not to invest, or if you take your money out of your investments because of this possibility and markets continue climbing, then clearly you'll miss out on those increases and will then possibly be looking to invest later down the line when stock markets could be even higher. Or you could find yourself in a situation where you end up keeping your money in cash, earning nothing for possibly quite some time. And when investment markets do finally go down, because markets have been increasing in the meantime, you could actually find that they don't drop to the levels you were initially going to invest in or when you withdrew your money out in the first place. I've been listening to analysts, economists, and fund managers for more than 25 years now, and I can assure listeners that no one really knows what the short-term future holds for stock markets. It's just impossible to say when or if a crash is coming. It is possible to predict that investment markets will go down at some point, but that's like predicting the end of the world is going to happen. One day it will, but do we want to be sitting around waiting in the meantime? And that leads me on to uncertainty. There's no doubt that what is happening in the world with COVID-19 is terrible. Many of us have lost family or friends from it, whether directly or indirectly. We've been unable to visit and see loved ones for months. Children at various times have been unable to play with friends or go to school for long periods of time. And jobs, businesses and careers have been lost. But looking forward, the future is always uncertain by the very fact that it's not yet happened. It's always easy to look back and feel that the past was so certain because we lived through it and we got through it. But if you just look back at, say, the last 20 years, I can assure you that if you were to pick any particular time in that period, it would have been quite easy to find some big news stories which at the time made us feel very uncertain about the future. Whether it was the uncertainty of the millennium bug, when aeroplanes were supposed to be going to fall from the sky, or when Pakistan and India's military were lined up against along the border, I think it was at the end of 2001, and there were real concerns of a possible nuclear war. Then we had the dot-com bubble burst in 2002, followed by the shocking images of 9/11 and the fear that there would be a rise in terrorism and we'd never feel safe again. And then this was followed by the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, where there was talk of Iraq being the next Vietnam. And then we had the financial crisis, where there were genuine question marks over the continuation of capitalism, and people lost their jobs and their homes. And these events all led to huge uncertainty and worry at the time. And all gave us reasons not to invest, you know, gave us the reasons to think that this time it would be different. But what history shows us, year after year and decade after decade, is that each time that the world is presented with a problem, we collectively do find a solution and we overcome that problem. And so when it comes to investing, it shouldn't be about what is going to happen in the investment markets today or what is going to happen tomorrow or next week. It should be about having an investment strategy or plan and then sticking with that plan. And as long as you're investing in a diversified portfolio of investments, which meet your circumstances, your objectives, and your attitude to risk, and you hold those investments regardless of what the market does in the short term, then you really do give your portfolio the best chance at surviving any potential volatility. So whilst Omicron variant may be a cause of concern around the world, that doesn't mean it needs to affect your investment strategy.
Well, with everything changing around us, what are the key fundamental areas people should focus on when it comes to managing their wealth?
Well, I would say, Howard, that there are four or five key areas we should all focus on when it comes to managing our wealth. And these are ensuring that your wealth is in the right tax-efficient structure or structures for your residence and personal circumstances, that your investments are appropriate to your appetite to risk and investment objectives, that your investments are diversified. You know, the old adage about not putting all your eggs in one basket most definitely applies to investing. And have a medium to longer term view, or longer term view, even in retirement, because retirement these days can be as much as 30 or even 40 years. And then, of course, ensure that you review or you repeat the other key areas I've just outlined at least once a year, because tax rules and tax laws change, your objectives and situation and your attitude to risk is likely to change over time.
Our broadcasts frequently focus on taxation issues. How does this impact on wealth planning?
Well, in the UK, for example, a tax-efficient structure such as an ISA or a pension can provide protection to help you legitimately avoid paying too much tax. And I think it's only natural that we all want to ensure that as much of our hard-earned wealth as possible is placed in the most suitable structure or structures to legitimately help us to limit our tax liabilities. And at the same time, when looking at this, I would say it's also a good time to consider estate planning in order to ensure that your assets and wealth can be passed to your chosen beneficiaries as easily and as tax efficiently as possible. Now, this is all perhaps quite easy to achieve for listeners when they were living in the UK, because invariably they're familiar with the tax rules there. But of course, if you're now living here in Spain, then you need to consider all of the tax implications and laws of being a resident in Spain. And so I would say it's crucial to take advice from someone who understands the Spanish tax system at both the state and regional level, and how they can impact your wealth. Otherwise, you may in fact have an excellent investment portfolio that produces very good returns, but then you see the returns that it makes to you after tax significantly reduced, which you can probably avoid if you structure things appropriately.
What about the investment risk? What should people be willing to tolerate?
Well, this is a good question, Howard. Of course, no risk often means no returns. And no risk typically means keeping your money on cash deposit with a bank. But arguably, even bank accounts carry risk at both an institutional level, but also regards to inflation risk, where the rising cost of living erodes the spending power of money held on bank deposit over time. More so when interest rates are at historical lows and there's no real sign of significant increases in these rates. I think most of us recognise that for some of our assets, some exposure to market movements gives us a better chance of outperforming inflation and producing real returns over the medium to longer term. However, the question becomes how much of these assets should be exposed to this, and the starting point has to be to obtain a clear and objective assessment of your appetite for risk. Now, there are some very sophisticated ways of evaluating your risk appetite these days, involving a combination of psychometric assessments, which also factor in what other assets you have and what are your investment objectives. I think it's extremely difficult to effectively assess your own risk profile objectively, and it's certainly beneficial, if it isn't your field of expertise, to seek guidance with this and ensure that not only is your risk assessed correctly, but then it is matched to the optimum blend of investments for you. Otherwise, you're likely to find yourself with a portfolio that is either too risky or too cautious. Another key step to ensuring that your portfolio is suitable for you is to establish your objectives. It's vital that at the starting point in any discussion with your advisor, that your objectives are clear. Are you looking for income? Are you looking for growth? Is it a combination of the two? What is your prime concern with regards to preserving your wealth? Is it for yourselves or your children or grandchildren? What is your investment time horizon? How long into the future are we looking at? Only then can your advisor help you build a portfolio based both on your appetite for risk and objectives.
We often hear about the need for a diversified portfolio. What does that mean, and why is it so important?
Yeah, the key here, Howard, is to ensure that your investments are suitably diversified so that you're not overly exposed to any asset type, country, or sector. And the logic behind this is that by spreading your wealth across different asset types, so that could include equities, government bonds, corporate bonds, property, and of course cash, and then spreading it across different countries such as the US, Europe, UK and emerging markets, you basically give your portfolio the chance to produce positive returns over time without being vulnerable to any single area or underperforming asset. This investment approach can then be taken a step further by basically utilizing a multi-manager approach where several different fund managers are blended together in a particular fund, thereby reducing your reliance on any one investment manager making the right decisions in all market conditions for one particular fund. So opting to use, say, one or two tax-efficient structures to hold your investments in doesn't necessarily mean that you have to put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. You can, and I would say you should, choose an arrangement that allows you to hold a range of assets, and then done correctly, it will certainly spread and reduce your exposure to risk.
So how do we make sure our financial plans are up to date and still suitable for us and our families?
Well, I would say that as a minimum, it's important to review your portfolio at least once a year. Not only to see how your portfolio is doing, but also to look at rebalancing, because invariably some asset values will rise, some funds will fall, and it's important to make sure that the portfolio is still matching your attitude to risk and your objectives. So regular rebalancing helps control risk and can have a positive impact on portfolio performance. But also, in that review, you should also be looking at if your circumstances or objectives have changed. Because obviously in a situation where your needs are different, then so the portfolio may need changing. And at the same time, this review should also cover any changes in tax or inheritance laws, both at the state level and at the regional level in Spain, and whether there needs to be anything that needs changing to overcome these changes. So I guess, in summary, Howard, with regards to your opening remarks about protecting and growing your wealth in uncertain times, I would say it's important to ensure that you have a clear strategy in that your assets are put in the right structures to limit potential taxation and meet your estate planning wishes, that you should objectively assess your appetite for risk and have clear financial objectives in order to ensure that your investment portfolio meets these requirements. And then with regards to your portfolio, ensure that it's diversified across asset types, markets, and investment approaches. And of course, ensure that this portfolio and your circumstances and your tax situation is regularly reviewed. Of course, if listeners would like to discuss anything that we've talked about today with an experienced, qualified, regulated advisor, then they can go to our website and contact their local Blevins Franks advisor at www.blevinsfranks.com.
Many thanks, Brett. That was very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Howard.